Free agency started. OBJ got traded. Earl Thomas signed. Landon Collins signed. Lots of other things happening. I am the Cowboys Addict, and welcome to The Drive. All right, so to get started today, I wanted to talk about OBJ to the Browns. So most of you should know by now that OBJ was traded to the Browns for a first rounder, a third rounder, and Jabril Peppers. So Jabril Peppers obviously makes sense because Landon Collins was let go and he ended up signing with the Redskins. So they needed somebody to fill in that hole that Landon Collins had left behind. Now, when Landon Collins left, he went to one of the NFC East rivals, which is the Redskins. And that contract is massive. I mean, it was massive. It was ridiculous. I would not have paid Landon Collins that much. And if that was his going rate, I know a lot of Cowboys fans wanted the Cowboys to take a shot at Landon Collins. But for that price, no. He's not worth it. He's an in-the-box safety. The Cowboys need more of a coverage safety because we already have really good linebackers. So Landon Collins, while he would have been an upgrade to somebody like Heath, is not something that we really should be considering. But let's go back to this OBJ trade. So my understanding of this trade is that the first rounder is the number 17th pick overall. That the third rounder might as well be a fourth rounder. And I think Jabril Peppers is a solid safety. He may not be one of the best yet. Maybe he won't ever be, but I think he's a solid safety. I know the Giants did want the second overall pick, meaning that's what they wanted from the 49ers. They weren't going to get that. I mean, let's be realistic. The only real people that are worth that, or the only real position that is worth a second rounder overall, a second overall pick, is a quarterback. And I know that OBJ is a very talented receiver and a top five receiver, but receivers are not worth what a quarterback is worth simply because who's going to get them the ball? It's just, in this league, what matters is the quarterback. But a lot of people are talking about the Giants saying that they got hosed, really? That they got the short end of the stick? Because they let one of the best receivers in the league go for a first rounder, basically a fourth rounder, and Jabril Peppers. Now, a lot of people are sleeping on Jabril Peppers. Let's not forget, Jabril Peppers was a first round pick, was a 25th pick overall for the Browns not that long ago. So he still has some room to grow. So you can basically call it that they got a first rounder, a second rounder, and basically a fourth rounder for OBJ. Now, is that what OBJ is worth? Probably not, but that's what they could get for him. And they wanted to get rid of him. So even though they had tweeted not even 2 months ago that they weren't going to get rid of OBJ, that was obviously a lie because now he's gone. So now what do things look like for the Browns? The Browns have Kareem Hunt, who ended up being suspended for 8 games. They have David Njoku, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry. By the way, Jarvis Landry and OBJ used to be teammates in college, in case you didn't know. So they'll be reuniting. And they got Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, the guy who started as a walk-on for Texas Tech and ended up being the number one overall pick in last year's draft as quarterback. That's who they got. Now you look at that offense and immediately you can see the firepower, right? But then you look at that defense and they have Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, Myles Garrett, another number one pick. And Denzel Ward, who's coming into his own. So you look at this team on paper and you think, Man, they're looking like the new Kansas City Chiefs. Not just because they have Kareem Hunt, but because they have all the talent. But here's the thing for me, though. The Browns are still the Browns. And until they can prove to me otherwise, the Browns haven't made the playoffs in I don't even know how long. I don't know when the last time was that the Browns made the playoffs. I don't ever recall them being in the playoffs. And now I'm seeing that all these people are setting expectations for them that they might be considered a Super Bowl contender. And that's taking it to the extreme. Not only will these players be playing together for the first time ever this year, they have an unproven coach. And coaching does mean something. Look at the Cowboys. They have a lot of talent. But who's their coach? Jason Garrett. You may have all the talent in the world, but if you're getting bad plays coming in, it's not going to work. And then you have Baker Mayfield, who's going into his second season. We all know that sophomore slump. It's supposed to be real. I don't know if it's real. I know that Dak struggled his second year, but how much is that the sophomore slump, and how much is it that he's just not that good? Colin Cowherd, I think, said it best when he said, it's all about expectations now. Last year, when the Browns went 7-8-1, there was no expectations. So anytime they won, it was all fun and games. It was all just making the best out of nothing. Now with this team, they have expectations. What are those expectations? How realistic are those expectations? Is a Super Bowl a realistic expectation? Think about that for a second. Who do you have in the AFC? The Patriots? They're always going to be there. The Steelers? Even without Antonio Brown? Even without Le'Veon Bell? They still have Ben Roethlisberger. They still have James Conner. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster. They're still loaded on defense. They still have a very, very, very good offensive line. What about the Colts? The Colts were supposed to be in a rebuilding year last year. And they did all right. And let's not forget about the Kansas City Chiefs. They're still a real threat, even though it's looking like Tyreek Hill might be suspended for child abuse, which is, that's just a whole different topic. But you still got all these teams that you got to worry about. Then the Ravens, who have a very good defense. The quarterback might be unproven still, but they still have a very good defense. The Browns, in my opinion, they won't even win their division. They won't. If I had to bet on any one of those teams in the Browns division, my money goes on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It just does. Simple as that. They have a proven coach. They have a proven quarterback. And they have one of the best offensive lines in the league. So my money is on them. And I think the Browns, they go 7-9. Because I think Baker Mayfield, while I can see the potential in him, as everybody can, he's going to have a down year. And then you're going to have OBJ whispering in your ear, or talking or screaming maybe, that he wants the ball. You know, that can have an effect on the quarterback. And while Kareem Hunt will be there, he's going to be suspended for the first 8 games. But I get it. You know, they have a talented team. You look at their team, they're talented. But to me, they have always been the Browns. They will continue to be the Browns. How many times have they gotten a top 10 overall pick and squandered it? It still hasn't made them any much better of a team. Any better of a team. So until they can prove to me that they are not the Browns of old, I'm going to keep thinking that they're the Browns. So my prediction, they go 7-9 next season, and let's move on. So what other moves happened in the free agency? The Honey Badger signed with the Chiefs. He rejected an offer from the Houston Texans to sign with the Chiefs, who offered him more money. Earl Thomas, who a lot of Cowboys fans were clamoring for, signed with the Ravens on a huge deal. Now, I don't know why the Cowboys fans really wanted Earl Thomas. I get that he's one of the best safeties in the league. But here are the facts on Earl Thomas. He hasn't played a full season since 2015. And by the time the season starts, he's going to be over 30 years old. And two of those injuries that he had, they were significant. It's not like he pulled a hammy or something. They were significant injuries. So all these Cowboys fans that are talking crazy because the Cowboys won't do anything in the free agency, it's not anything new. The Cowboys, over the last couple of years, have been doing this, staying away from the early window of the free agency where all this crazy money gets thrown around. And they find better bang for their buck later after those first few weeks of free agency. Not only that, they've been building through the draft with Will McClay. So guys, relax. It's going to be fine. We didn't miss out on anything special by not signing Earl Thomas, who again hasn't played a full season since 2015. Why would you spend all that money on somebody who won't even be on the field? Now, if he comes back and he plays a great season for the Ravens and is worth all the money that they threw at him, then I'll eat my words. But for now, he's getting older, hasn't played a full season since 2015, and when your body gets older, you don't recover as fast and you get injured faster. So relax, guys. It's going to be all right. And then to top it all off, Xavier Woods comes out and he says that he's feeling disrespected because of all this Earl Thomas or all this safety talk. And everybody's thinking, Xavier Woods, calm down, man. Nobody wants to replace you. You were a stud last year. You're going to be better this year. The guy that we want replaced is Heath, Jeff Heath. Jeff Heath, for some reason, I get that he's trying to cause a fumble, but after the guy keeps running for 10 yards, after you're already there to make the tackle, give up and make the tackle. Don't let him run for 10 more yards while you're trying to get the ball out. That's why we're trying to get rid of Heath. We're not trying to get rid of Woods. Woods is a ball hawk. Every time the ball gets thrown down the field, Xavier Woods is very, very near and always delivers the big hit. But the Cowboys haven't been all that quiet. I mean, they did some signings. They re-signed Tavon Austin, which I think is a really good signing. When healthy, he can be dangerous. I mean, the guy can move. He's very quick. Let's just hope that he can stay healthy, so that he can be used, and we can see how Kellen Moore will be able to use him, or what he has planned, and we'll see if he really is an offensive genius or a football genius. Cole Beasley is now gone. He signed with the Bills. He got what he wanted. He got the money he wanted, and immediately went to saying that I know that he was responding to somebody who tweeted something that he was never going to win again. And he responded by saying that in the Cowboys, they never won anything. While he's clearly talking about a Super Bowl, the not winning anything is just not true. I mean, they got to the playoffs. When was the last time the Bills were in the playoffs? Last year. But when was the last time that they won their division? They can't even do that. They won't do that as long as Bill Belichick is there. Brady doesn't even have to go. As long as Bill Belichick is there, the Bills are not going to win that division. So it's clear that it's all about the money for him. He doesn't want to win. He doesn't care about winning. Can you blame him, though? I mean, it's kind of hard to blame him, right? He wants his money. He thinks he's due. From what I heard, though, or from what I read, the Patriots were actually interested in Cole Beasley, and he decided to go with the Bills for more money. If I was him, I would have gone with the Patriots just to try and get a ring. But that's just me. So with him gone, it opens the door for either Tavon Austin to play the slot or Allen Hurns to play the slot, which I like Allen Hurns there because Tavon Austin is a gadget player, more of a gadget player. So I'm excited to see what Allen Hurns can deliver there. And all the best to Cole Beasley, but you're not going to win, dude. So might as well just enjoy your money. Other guy that left was Jeff Swaim. He went to the Jaguars. Cowboys re-signed Cameron Fleming, which I think is another great signing. Because Cameron filled in very, very good when he needed to. He was solid. And you can never have too much offensive line depth. So it was a great signing. And then the Cowboys signed this guy named Cody McElroy, who apparently was playing baseball, and they signed him to play tight end. Now, I've never heard of this guy. I don't know what they're trying to do here, really. Because why would you do that? You already tried that with Rico Gathers, and it didn't work. Are you just going to keep doing this? The guy's going to make almost $500,000 for one season. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't like that signing. I don't know anything about that guy, to be honest, but I don't like that signing. I'd rather you draft somebody who played tight end in college. And this guy might have played tight end in college. I didn't do any research on him, but I'd rather draft somebody who's coming out of college who has played tight end than somebody who's been trying to play baseball the last year. So we'll see how that works out. I don't like it. And then the other guy that the Cowboys signed is a defensive tackle named Christian Covington, who last year played with the Houston Texans, had two starts. But he is a three-tech tight end, or tight end, sorry. He's a three-tech defensive tackle. At least that's what I saw from some of his reviews. We need a one-technique defensive tackle. Somebody to cover up that hole in the middle. We don't need another three-tech. But apparently I read somewhere that he's rated higher than Antoine Woods. If that's true, then I want to see what he can do because Woods was amazing for us last year. So he better live up to that hype. If he doesn't, then out you go. So I mentioned earlier that Tyreek Hill is now under investigation for suspected child abuse or neglect. Now, I know that in the past he was charged for choking and punching his girlfriend at the time in the face and in the stomach while she was pregnant. This happened in 2014 while he was at Oklahoma State. And now he is being investigated for this suspected child abuse or neglect, whatever that is. Now, I did read that it may have been that he, you know, broke his three-year-old son's arm, which is unacceptable to me. He's a three-year-old. They don't know what they're doing. You can't. This is just my opinion. A three-year-old doesn't know what they're doing. You can't use physical. You can't hit him. It's just, he's a three-year-old. Relax. But where I'm going with this is, why can't these players stay out of trouble? Is it because they play a violent game? I don't think that's true. It's just the way that they are, I think. They just can't stay out of trouble. What is your greatest vice? If I offered you, or somebody offered you, millions of dollars to give up that vice for 3 to 5 years, would you be able to do it? So David Irving, where I'm going with this is David Irving apparently came out and said that Jason Garrett told him to smoke all the weed that he wanted and to quit on the team because the team didn't need him. He apparently told him that he was being a distraction to the team. That may be true, but how could you be a distraction to the team if you're not in the locker room? You're not even in the facility. Is he being a distraction because people keep talking about him, asking about him? That could probably be it. But what if your vice helps you with some kind of mental illness, which apparently David Irving has? He supposedly has manic depression. He's borderline schizophrenic. And he's bipolar. He's also dealing with post-traumatic stress or something like that. I'm not sure from what. But he's dealing with all these mental issues where apparently weed is what helps him. So would you still be able to give up that vice if it helps you mentally? For millions of dollars? Regardless of what you think about the rule about weed in the NFL, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it's still a rule. And as long as it's a rule, you need to abide by that. I, for one, don't understand it. I don't understand the unwillingness to give up weed to make millions of dollars, and all you're doing is giving it up for 3 or 5 years because that's the average NFL career length. Only the good ones last 3 to 5 years. The great ones last longer. The mediocre ones last through preseason. So it was good to read that Jason Garrett came out and at least showed some toughness in something. Now, weed is becoming legal in most of, in some states of in the United States. So maybe the NFL at some point will catch up and make it legal. Or maybe they'll make medical marijuana legal as long as you have a prescription. Who knows? For now, it's not, though. So stay away from it. These players need to learn to stay out of trouble. 3 to 5 years, stay out of trouble. If you're a great one, then you need to stay out of trouble longer, but maybe that'll be better for you. I know it'll be better for you. I'm the Dallas Cowboys addict. This was The Drive. Let me know if you have any questions, comments, concerns at thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com or follow me at Dallas_addict on Twitter. You'll get all notifications for when new episodes come out. And follow me and subscribe anywhere that you listen. Talk to you next time.